come as you are, but leave as he is.
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
And good morning and welcome to Wednesday Live. It's right now 11 o'clock in the morning. So glad to have all of you who are our friends that join us every Wednesday.
Yes.
And also new friends that may have just turned your radio on. So glad that you're connecting with us. This is at 89.9 and we're located in Palm City, Florida. So glad that you are able to be a part with us. Now, we have a really exciting morning ahead of us because we have some younger students that have joined us today. Well, they're younger than me and they're students, and so they are in the studio. We're going to be talking with them and some parents today, as well as some that are involved in directing. But before we get to that, David, we need to share from a lady, and just, I believe there may be a praise report, maybe a prayer request there, and we'd like to get into the mail as we gather together. What do we have?
This is a phone call this morning from a dear listener in Vero Beach, Judith.
Okay.
And Judith made a $1,000 donation to the radio station.
Huge. Great
out of
blessing.
Her godly heart.
That's awesome.
And this is what she said. The reason why she said, this radio station has brought me through a lot of pain, but a lot of joy also.
Mm.
Please pray for me. I've been falling a lot lately, and so we need to lift her
go
up.
Go ahead, lift her up in prayer right now. Let's start with prayer.
Father, we thank you
for Judith.
We thank you that you know all of her needs. Father, you're moving to bless her and to restore her. We don't know, and neither does she, why she is falling so much. But, Father, we pray that you would move in such a powerful way and that your Holy Spirit would release healing graces into her life, body, mind, and spirit, Lord, and also gather around her a loving, caring, professional community that you have anointed for the purpose of diagnosing and treating these issues. And we thank you, Lord, that we're not praying and advising you for the first time what to do. We're simply giving words to what your heart has already decided to do.
Thank you,
Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And of course, that is David Francoeur, who is a part of our team here. Welcome, David.
Excited to. I was going to say, you know, this is Wednesday Live, but your team is live every day here.
Yes, that's
one
the
way
plan.
Or another. Yes,
the plan is to keep them all alive.
That's right.
And Karen's normally with us. She's in the building, and she is actually going to be in charge of some touring that's going to take place right here at WCNO. And for those of you young people, kids, school kids that have toured WCNO before, you know what happens here. You get to go on air. So let me welcome Jennifer. Welcome, Jennifer. Pull that mic up and say hello to all of our friends.
Well, hello, and thank you for having us today. We're excited to be a part of your show and to learn more about the station, and we're just thankful for the opportunity.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, Jennifer, it's great to have you. We're going to be asking some questions about homeschooling, but I also want to welcome a couple that, I feel related to you a whole lot. So I'll start with Tim. Tim is my brother-in-law, actually, and Tim, we've been knowing each other since we were kids and in school together and such forth, and you are a homeschool parent, part of the team.
Well, actually homeschool grandpa.
Homeschool grandpa. That's right. You are grandpa and grandma. Yep.
Yeah. And for those who aren't aware, I was married to Jonathan's sister for 31 years until she went home to be with the Lord about 14 years ago, and then I remarried to a lovely woman named Donna. And long story short, we have adopted our granddaughter. Anna raising her. She's six years old now, and she is here in the studio with us.
All right, excellent. Donna, welcome.
Thank you.
And are you in charge of the schooling operation here, the grandma schooling at home?
Yes. So I homeschooled my kids for 16 years, and we decided that we were going to homeschool Willow when we adopted.
Well.
So she's been schooling. Tim acts as principal, so he's my support team.
Ooh. Oh. Okay. All right. Well, Willow, we want to welcome you. Do we have a mic that Willow can say hello on? Say hello to everybody. She's a little shy. Yeah. She's a little bit shy. But I think Addison can do that all right. Right, Addison?
Yes, I can do that.
All right, Addison. So you are homeschooled.
Yes.
And you are not 60. You're a little younger than that. You're not 20 yet.
No, I'm not 20.
You're not 15 yet.
No.
How old are you?
I am 12, but I will be turning 13 in 3 months.
Wow, you're almost a teenager. Wow, and you're homeschooled. Are there other family members, like brothers, sisters, in your family?
No, I am an only child.
You're an only child. Okay, do you know this lady over here?
Yes.
Yes?
That's my mom.
Oh, it's your mom. Okay, yay. Okay, we got a mom. Okay,
there we go.
Very good, very good. And I have to just tell you, who are not able to see, I see faces poking through the windows. So let's say hello to all of the other kids that are out there listening to you. Say hello, Addison and Willow. Okay, we got a laugh out of her. Let's talk a little bit about homeschooling. First of all, I want to say that your church and your pastor are very dear friends of mine. And so I'm going to ask Addison a tough question. What is your pastor's name?
Pastor Sam.
Pastor Sam. Okay, good, good, good. And what is his wife's name? Let's see.
Miss Sue.
Miss Sue. Okay, so we have Pastor Sam and Miss Sue, and they both are on this radio station on a regular basis. And Pastor Sam is preaching on this station like three times a week, and maybe we'll have a little more of that soon. And of course, Sue, she is involved in Pro-Life and CareNet and the Treasure Coast and all those great things. And so she comes in and she shares with us about what's going on, and we love all that. But Addison, did you know, and Willow, did you know that Pastor Sam and his wife Sue and Tim and my family, we all went to the same school?
No.
See? We all went to the same school together. And so we were in a Christian school, but we were not homeschooled. At least I was not homeschooled. Let's talk about homeschooling. Jennifer, what is your position with the homeschool, and what is the name of the homeschool?
Our homeschool co-op is Affirm Foundation, and it's okay. under Grace Emanuel Church. I am a part of the committee. We run through a committee aspect. Mm-hmm. So it's comprised of my husband and myself, and then our other co-op leader that's here today, Kristen, and her husband, Chris. And then we have two elders that are also on our committee.
Excellent. Mm. So when did the co-op start?
January this year.
Really?
Yes.
So, wow, that's awesome. So we get to have you in here pretty much your first year getting started. So Grace Emanuel Church is a sponsor for the co-op, and the co-op is called Affirm Foundation, which is a really great name. That's a great name for a homeschool group. And why homeschool? What happened before homeschool? Where were you, Addison, before homeschool?
I've always been homeschooled.
You've always been homeschooled. Okay, so you've always been homeschooled, but we have a new co-op now that you're a part of.
Yes.
Okay, good. All right, back to Jennifer. So why homeschool? Why do you do this?
So my husband and I were youth leaders in Michigan. That's where we were originally from.
Okay.
We did that for 4 years. And as we began that, we just saw a huge conflict in the walks with the kids, whether or not they were truly serving the Lord, or if there was confusion that was occurring within their, you know, what they believed. And when we prayed and sought the Lord, we felt that he told us a lot had to do with their daily influence. And at that time, Addison was 18 months old. And so as we continued to be youth leaders and just desired for her to grow up on a firm foundation, we pursued, you know, asking the Lord, what does that look like? And my husband and I were not homeschooled. It was a foreign concept.
New experience then, yes. Okay.
But we felt that that was the direction he was having us go. And when she was old enough to begin her first year of schooling, the Lord brought people. And they started to give us information and show us the ropes to it. And we've just continued to pursue that path.
What grade is your daughter in?
She's in seventh grade this year.
Seventh grade. Yeah. Okay. And are you the primary instructor or overseer in the home?
Yep.
Okay. And you still look young and healthy and full of joy. And so I think maybe families that have never homeschooled, they look at this and it's kind of like a something that looks overwhelming or maybe daunting. Did you find it really difficult, or did you find that God just raised up support that made it possible?
In the first year, I'm a very structured, organized person.
That helps.
And so it has its, it has the pluses, but there's also negatives to that, because one of the freedoms with homeschooling is that you fit education into life, and you learn how it's more than just academics. You know, Kirk Cameron did a film called Homeschool Awakening, he really just blew open the different ways of homeschooling. It's there is no one size shoe fits all.
Okay.
And so God really challenged me to not look at it through a traditional school standard, but to let him be the lead, and me follow him, and then me implement everything in our homeschool, dynamic. And so it's been really awesome to fellowship with other homeschoolers and to see how God has led them with their different unique skills and talents, and how that differs from our home. But I think the biggest obstacle that a lot of people face entering into the homeschooling mentality is that they think that they have to mimic the school system. Mm. And that is the biggest misconception out there.
Okay, so what you're saying is you're not trying to duplicate what is in the secular system. Exactly. You are looking to provide a wholesome balance. Maybe this is getting back to basics a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe this is more like the way education was originally in our nation. So what is a co-op, and why would a church have a co-op? How does this help homeschooling?
So a co-op really allows the opportunity to create community.
Okay.
In the body of Christ,
So you're not alone.
No, we're not alone.
Okay.
2 Corinthians talks about the body of Christ and how we all fit together. You know, we have different gifts, we have different skills, we have different talents. There are so many different even types of co-ops, that are available. What we decided to do is those who are a part of the Grace Emmanuel family, who become members of the church, and are looking to homeschool, then we're able to join arms together and pursue this life together, to encourage, to strengthen, to share what we found that has worked, what hasn't worked, and ultimately just join arms and say, okay, how can we help you? How can we support you?
It's excellent.
And, so the biggest thing is community.
All right. Well, let me pick on Tim and Donna here a little bit. Donna, you've done this before.
Yes.
How many years did you say?
It was somewhere in the 14 to 16 range.
Okay.
Michael, my oldest, actually graduated high school and had 45 credit hours of college when he graduated high school.
Really? So homeschooled, but actually
we did
college
dual enrollment
credit.
Because once they get to high school, a lot of those high school courses are duplicative of what they're going to do in those entry college levels.
Wow, so you can homeschool and get that jump
and get
ahead. That's
credits
excellent.
For homeschool. So
it's awesome.
That's how we chose to do it for him, and it worked excellent for us. Got him a good start.
Oh, wow. That's excellent. So now you are a part of the co-op at Grace Emanuel. And so how do you interact with the other families? How does that work?
We have monthly opportunities that we can do events together. They provided us a back-to-school event the other day where we got
sort of like if you were in the school system, you would have some things like that. So you have some community. Okay.
We have community. We had an archery day, a planetarium. We do all kinds of community events.
Excellent.
Together. And so then when we see each other at church, there's that built relationship already.
It's
if
there.
We need support in our homeschool, we can reach out and call. We get together on the side because we already established that relationship and we know we're in the same
awesome
so lifestyle.
Different families have different gifts, and they have maybe you were talking about the uniqueness that a family's not stuck in somebody else's pattern, that you can actually allow the wisdom of God to give you some direction with how you're going to run yours. So that's pretty great. Tim, why do you have your granddaughter in a co-op homeschool? I mean, you're very supportive, obviously, of your wife and what's going on here, but what is your perspective?
Well, when we looked at education for Willow, there was really three options. You can either send them to public school or a Christian school.
Right.
Or homeschool.
Right.
Those are really pretty much the three options.
Yeah.
And between those three, since Donna doesn't have to work anymore and she was available to do it, the homeschool was obviously it was the best option. Public school, obviously, the disadvantages of that are definitely obvious. The private school does have its... still has this issue sometimes too, and of course there's the cost factor of that as well. But after discussing it and praying about it, this was the option we felt was the best.
You're grandparents, right?
And we are grandparents.
So does this give you a little more flexibility as a family? I mean, at some point you might want to retire. So if you do that, does homeschooling give you more flexibility as a family?
Yeah, it does. And like, so if you want to take a vacation somewhere that's, you can, usually during the school year, you can do that. You don't have to do it during the summer or Christmas vacation, you know, so it does give you a lot of flexibility. And one of the things in looking at, you know, retirement years, that was one of the things that we wanted to do was to travel. But, you know, so this does provide us with some of that flexibility to be able to do those things that we want to do.
That's excellent.
And we were, back early this year, we were able to go to Rome for a 10-day Mediterranean cruise. And
wow.
See Rome and, you know, Ephesus and Athens and a lot of these.
And Willow traveled with you?
No, she actually, Donna's brother came down.
She was taken care of.
And,
but you all were free because she could continue with, even during the school year, she could do that.
Right.
Okay.
And we also have Donna's stepfather living with us, who's 85 years old.
Excellent.
As well. So
this is a family really taking care of the family, which is really awesome. So I know that the homeschool movement has been really raised up because it gives a family an opportunity to actually know what their children are being taught. And Tim, you're here today, and I'm glad you're here today, because a lot of times it's the moms that are doing the homeschooling. But what would you say to men today? How important is it for men to be involved? I mean, you're a grandfather, and you're also a father, and your son is in education, I know, at this time. But how important is it for men to get involved in the process?
It is. I mean, I've, pretty much I'm the breadwinner.
Right.
Bring some of the resources to be able to buy the books and the curriculum, that sort
sure.
of thing. On a day-to-day, one of the things we do every night with Willow is we'd read bedtime stories to her.
Okay.
And Donna would read her one, and I would read mm-hmm. Well, at 6 years old, she now reads the books to us.
Wow.
She is an avid reader.
That is wow. cool.
And reading way beyond the first grade
that's
level
excellent.
At this point.
So that's another important point of homeschool. You're not tied to maybe the limitations of the rest of the class or maybe the bar that's set by the educational system.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Wow. Okay. That's excellent. That's excellent. So Willow is reading books to
wow.
your grandparents?
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite book, Willow?
It's Raining Tacos, maybe?
It's Raining Tacos.
Raining yeah. Tacos!
I love that. Oh, yeah.
Well, that's pretty great. That's pretty great. So, you know, we have a lot of stuff happening in the public schools today. And just restrooms alone is a big issue in a lot of states. Thankfully, in Florida, we have some leadership in our state that I believe helps us a lot to sort some of this out, but I just cannot imagine. I cannot imagine sending one of my kids to school when the restrooms might be open to whoever feels like going in there. I mean, to me, that is just insanity. We have an insane condition in our nation today, and we have leaders that are looking to step into national leadership that don't take a position on girls. We have two girls in the room today, and girls in sports, and that really brings me to the next area I wanted to bring up. But homeschool gives you an opportunity to oversee and make sure there's protection, you understand the philosophy of education that's being given, and you also know where your child is. You know where they are academically. So, Jennifer, we just had the Olympics. And I didn't even watch, you know, the opening and closing because it's just really sad. And we also, I was looking that two ladies were maybe robbed of a gold because, you know, some guy was able to come in and compete. What happens with things like sports, things like extracurricular in homeschool? Because I know some families, their kids want to play softball, their family wants to get involved. How do you do these extra things that you may not have the skills or the facilities to provide?
So there are a lot of churches that actually come together, and there might be individuals in the church who have sports in their background, and
okay.
they will organize a team.
Okay.
Our other family who helps orchestrate the co-op management, Chris and Kristen, he's actually a coach for a soccer team.
Good.
And so it's a part of another church, but it's open to, you know, people.
So you can connect.
Yep.
That's awesome.
And then there's also other you know, groups. HSLDA is a legal firm that supports just homeschooling families. They were created for that.
Okay.
But a part of being a membership with them is that they, at your fingertips, you have tons of resources in your area. You can go in there and you can tell them what you're looking for, and they'll tell you who's partnered with them, who have registered to be made available to the community of homeschooling
excellent.
Families.
Excellent.
And then there's also FPEA, Florida Parent Education Association, similar concept, but they were created to support the homeschool community, and a lot of different organizations partner with
them.
So
there is support.
Yeah.
There is support. Well, now we have another group that's going to come in, and I'm already hating that you all are going to go out to let the next group in, but Jennifer, thank you for coming in, and Addison, thank you. Willow, thank you for coming and joining us today. Tim and Donna, thank you so much for being a part with us, and we're going to go to a song at this time, and it's entitled Praise, And we're going to be back in just a moment with some more homeschoolers and to hear what they have to say. We are coming back. We're trying to give. Actually, we didn't have to come back. We still have the song going. So I'm going to listen to the rest of it. And we'll okay, come back. Dave, go ahead with your direct.
Well, that was a lively tune, wasn't it?
That was a lively tune. And we are now live again with the second half of the homeschool group, which is awesome. Have all of these, are they all boys?
One girl
over there. Okay. Yeah, she has the curls, of course. I should have known a girl with curls. And so let me see. I have, where's Jamie?
James.
You're James. You got to talk into the mic and say, hey.
Hi.
All right. Do you need to do a shout out to somebody? Who are you going to shout out to? Maybe?
Hi, Dad.
Oh, there you go. Hi, Dad. Okay. And what's Dad's name?
Chris.
Okay. Yeah, you got to get right up in the mic. Okay. So that is it Jamie or James or?
James.
Okay. See, I didn't put the S on there. All right. We got that. And we have Evelyn. Where's Evelyn? Let's get Evelyn. You got to say hello, Evelyn. Pull the mic all the way down to her mouth. There we go.
Hi.
Evelyn, how old are you?
Not 10.
You're 10 years old and you are in homeschool. What grade are you in?
Fifth
grade. Evelyn, it is awesome to have you. Are you going to do a shout out to somebody? Want to say hello to somebody?
Hi, Dad.
Oh, what's Dad's name?
Chris.
Okay, excellent. Okay. Excellent. All right, then we have Luke. Where's Luke at? Is this Luke?
Yes.
All right, Luke. Say hey. He's shy. Is Luke shy? I bet Luke can talk. Maybe later we'll get Luke to say something. Let's see. Then we have Asher?
Hi.
Hey, Asher, how old are you?
I am 9.
9 years old and you're in homeschool?
Yes.
What grade?
Fourth
grade. All right. And who's your teacher?
My mom.
Your mom. Okay. All right. And then we have Arson. Okay.
Hi.
How old are you, Arson?
5
years old. You're in school too? Really? What grade are you in?
BBK.
Okay, VBK, very good. Then we have Axel. Where's Axel? Yeah. All right, Axel, speak up. Say hello, everybody.
Hello.
Yeah, a lot of people are listening. You know, a few hundred thousand people are out there listening to you today. Mm-hmm. That's pretty awesome. Arrow, how old are you?
Can you say 2? I'm 2.
2 years old. Wow. Well, not the youngest, because we do have boy number 5.
Yes.
Yeah. That is on the way.
On the way.
Yep. Not quite here yet. Okay, so Kristen, are you a part of the board that oversees the homeschool as well?
Yes.
You are. Okay. And so welcome. Great to have you with us today. And why homeschool?
My husband and I feel like it is the best choice for our family. Feel like we can really give them a firm foundation in Christ that they will have for the rest of their life.
Awesome. And how long have you been homeschooling?
Since we started school, since my oldest started.
Really?
And I was actually homeschooled when I was younger.
You were as well?
Yes.
Wow. And you have how many children?
3.
You have 3?
Yes.
And you look so young. Are you old enough to have these kids and be a teacher?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, awesome. Awesome. And we also have Carly with us. Carly, you're a homeschooler, and you have some boys, don't you?
Yes, I have a lot of boys.
It must be fun around your house.
Fun and chaotic, but good.
Fun and chaotic. Okay. And how long have you been homeschooling?
We actually started 2 years ago.
So okay.
We started off in a regular charter school and realized quickly that was not for us.
Okay.
It doesn't point the kids to Christ at all, you know, throughout the day. They're gone 8 hours, like they're at a full-time job.
Yep.
And then I barely got to see them. And my husband and I were like, this isn't right. This isn't how the Lord wants our family to do things.
Okay.
So we pulled them out when my oldest was starting second grade and the second was starting kindergarten. We pulled them out and we've been having our adventure the last couple years.
Mm. Wow. Okay, we have a lot of parents listening, grandparents listening today. How did you end up deciding to take on this challenge? I mean, I understood you were raised in a homeschool, so you're already familiar with it. Is this something you just really felt strongly was the right thing to do?
So my husband was the one that actually, he grew up going to a Christian school and public school, and he saw that the two had the same issues, but one was just more, not as heightened, not as bad. And so he really was the one that was like, I think just seeing how my family brought me up and thought it would be the best.
For best way to do it. So there again, we have a dad that's involved, and I just believe that's really important for fathers to be involved in the educational process. That is awesome. Carly, as far as cost, what happens with cost of homeschooling? I mean, you have a bunch of boys here, so
I have
some expense.
There's a lot of really affordable Christian options for homeschooling.
Curriculums?
Yeah, different curriculums. Okay. And we just found since we were new at it, I found one that was like open and go, meaning you don't have to do a whole lot of planning prior to. I can just open it up and we start on it together. And we do a lot of subjects together, like science and history. So that cuts down on costs because then they can just do their little notes and stuff. And it's really more affordable. I'm spending less than I was when they were in their charter school, because there's different fees and uniforms and all that. So it's actually a lot more affordable than most people think.
Now, in your co-op, have you all been able to sort of assist each other in signing up for the school choice and getting the resources that are available for that?
I haven't taken advantage of any of those, only because I feel like down the road there'll be some strings attached with different like government programs.
Okay.
And so we've, not that I think they're wrong, but we've stayed away from those for now. But a lot of my friends have used them and are happy with the scholarships and stuff. And they've used it to give their kids a lot more opportunities with different events.
Because the resources are there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is that, $7,000, $8,000, something like that, a year?
Mm-hmm.
And so I know we have some leadership in the state that believe a parent should be able to decide how their child is educated. And so these funds were kind of pulled away from the secular institution and made available to either private schools or whatever, or homeschools even. Are you familiar with that, Kristen?
I've heard of them. I don't know too much about them. We've
we've
just been blessed to be able to do it on our own.
Okay.
And so we haven't really looked into it.
Well, it is available. And it's available to, I understand it's available to homeschoolers, but it may be around the $7,000 area per year. And that certainly would help with maybe books and a lot of other things. But it's intended to give parents the choice to decide where their child is going to be educated. And we have a lot of families where their children are in public school, and they cannot even imagine ever being able to handle the kids all day. How do you as moms handle, I'm a mom, I'm a wife, I have children, and now I'm a teacher. How do you balance that? Who's going to talk about that?
I mean, I feel like as a mom, teaching and discipling our children are God-given duties. Like it's, I mean, I know some families financially, they can't do it, and the kids don't listen to me. And I mean, that's kind of a problem on our parenting end. If our kids aren't listening to us, God tells us to disciple and train them.
Yes.
And so I mean, God, he works on you through your kids. He's sanctifying my husband and myself through our children, for sure.
Wow. And of course, God disciplines us.
Mm-hmm.
And so correction and direction is part of the Word of God and part of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives as well. And so you're both a part of the co-op. And how is this working? It's kind of a new thing. So do you get a little tighter? Do you build close relationships with the other families?
Yeah, I mean, we've gotten close to Carly and her five boys through
the
co-op.
That is awesome. And so earlier we were talking with the other group about how different families have sort of some unique ways of running the homeschool. What can you tell me about that? What How does that work to where maybe yours is slightly different, Kristen, from Carly's school? Different curriculums or what?
So it can change in curriculum. It can change in your school schedule. For example, we tend to follow the school year, whereas we take the summer off.
Okay.
But I have some friends. So a friend I know, she schools 2 weeks, takes the third week off, schools 2 weeks, all year long. And I know some parents that just do it all year long, and then when they take their vacations or their trips, they take off. So
this must be really great, because like if there's holidays and different times during the year, I know that was one thing, was always an issue with my family growing up, and I was in a Christian school, but many times there were things that the family wanted to do but couldn't do, because even with more than, there were five of us in the family, so we didn't all have the same schedule. And I'm wondering how this works. You know, I see these little kids that have to be at school at, like, I don't know, 7, 8 o'clock in the morning or something. When does school start in the morning for you, Kristen? What's your schedule?
So we usually, after all their chores and stuff, we'll get started around 9.
Okay. Okay, so you kind of have a schedule that's set. And what about you, Carly?
We are early risers in our house, and my husband heads out the door for work around 7:45.
Okay.
So around 8, we're at the table.
You're starting.
Yeah, we're starting around 8.
Okay, now I need to know, who's going to tell me what your favorite sport is?
Soccer.
Soccer. Are you playing soccer right now?
Not right now, but I...
You will be?
Yes.
And how does that work with homeschooling?
It's practices are usually Monday night, and the games are always Saturday morning.
Okay, so you can interact with, is this with a Christian soccer league, or what is it?
It's with a church.
With a church. Awesome. Awesome. So this is exactly what families wonder. You know, I don't want my children to be shortchanged and not have the opportunities to mix and mingle with other kids and be a part of that. Okay, who else is involved in sports? Let me see who. Okay, we've got a girl now. All right, speak up. What sport are you in?
Soccer.
You're in soccer too?
Yes.
Cool, that's great. So are you in the same... on the same, with the same group, soccer? It's a Christian group?
Yes.
Excellent. Do you like it?
Yes.
Are you good?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But modest.
But modest, yeah, about, yeah, that. Carly, what about your family? How are you going to approach that and maybe specialty things?
My guys aren't super into sports. They like to build. Like
build?
Like electronics and...
Oh, what's your husband do?
Well, right now he makes signs. He used to be an engineer.
Oh, okay.
He helped build boats, so he's very hands-on. Lots of projects with the kids. And this Axel loves like robotic stuff and experiments with electricity. So that's their forte more than sports right now.
Wow, that's pretty awesome. All right. Moms and school teachers, what do you have to say as we kind of close out this section? And please don't leave the building, because we're going to want to do a little recording here in just a few moments. But anything you'd like to say to families that are prayerfully considering their options at this point, would you recommend it?
I highly recommend it. I mean, it brings the family together. Dad's able to join us on certain field trips.
That's awesome.
And be involved. Your kids do get socialization. I feel like they get more socialization than kids who are in a classroom with the same age. Here we have kids ages 2 to 12, and they're able to talk to each other, help each other. They see older people, just a wider range.
That's awesome.
Than you would be in a classroom.
That's a very good point. Very good point. What do you think, Carly?
I mean, while there is a challenge to it, it's so, so rewarding, and you'll never regret having that time with your kids. Like, your kids aren't going to grow up like, man, I really wish I would have sent them to school, you know, like,
yep. Yeah.
Where, no, like, you get so much more time with them. They get to develop their personalities without a bunch of pressure from the outside, and like I said, it's actually more time as a family together, because my husband's off, I can pull the kids. They get a free day, and we're just hanging out.
All right, we're going to go to a song at this time. Keep your dial set right here at 89.9, and please don't leave the building, homeschoolers, because I'm going to want to get you all together because we want to do a recording just with you that we'll be playing a little later in the year. So stand by. We have one more guest we're going to be bringing in. And so thank you so much, all of you, for coming in today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Your home. I don't know where you eat your meals or where you talk on the phone. I don't know if you got a cook, a butler, or a maid. I don't know if you got a yard with a hammock in the shade. I don't know if you got some shelter, say a place to hide. I don't know if you live with friends and who you can confide. I don't know if you got a family, say a mom or dad. I don't know if you feel love at all, but I bet you wish you had. Come and go with me to my father's house. Come and go with me to my father's house. It's a big, big house with lots and lots of room. A big, big table with lots and lots of food. A big, big yard where we can play football. A big, big house. This is my father's house. Never name any mouth, my mouth. All I know is a big old house, but rooms for everyone. All I know is a lots of land where we can play and run. All I know is that you need love, and I've got a family. All I know is you're all alone, so why not come with me? Go with me to my father's house. Come and go with me to my father's house. It's a big, big house with lots and lots of room. A big, big table with lots and lots of food. A big, big yard where we can play football. A big, big house. It's my father's house. A big, big house with lots and lots of room.
All right. Well, we had the big, big house there on air because we just had our studio full of wonderful homeschool kids for the last 30-some minutes, and that was quite awesome. But now we have another guest that is joining us. We have Kayla that is with us. Kayla, are you able to hear me okay?
Yes, thank you so much for having me this morning.
Excellent. Well, Kayla, we have a gang of homeschoolers hanging out here, and they're going to be listening in as well. I thought it would really work great to have you come in because I know the ministry that you're a part of is a ministry that really wants to see families together and families healed. So the name of your organization is Better Together. Is that the name of the full name of the organization?
Yes, Better Together is we're a nonprofit and we're a ministry that really wants to keep families together and keep kids out of foster care.
Okay, all right. And when did Better Together start? How old is the organization, and where are you located, and how do you do that?
Yeah, so our CEO, Megan Rose, started the organization in Southwest Florida in 2015. She has a background in child welfare and really saw how broken the system was and wanted to find a better way to help families stay together in the first place and keep kids out of foster care. Because once kids are in foster care, it's really hard for families to reunite. It's an average of almost 600 days for children once they enter the foster care system for their families to get back together. And there's only about a 50% reunification rate for families once they're in that system. But we know that 85% of the kids who are in foster care are there because of neglect, not abuse. And neglect is fueled by poverty, and poverty is preventable. We believe that we can help people through the power of work and through sustainability and community that they find through the local church, that they can really rise up out of that situation and become a sustainable, stronger family.
Well, what was that percentage again that of the kids that end up in the system just because, not because of abuse, but because of just lack of resources or other problems in the home?
It's 85%.
80? Yeah, so that is really high.
Yeah, the majority of kids who are in foster care is because their families just don't have the support system or the resources to care for their children. Wow. Just imagine, you know, a mom who has to work, and so she leaves the child with, you know, a new boyfriend. And then it's a sad story from there. So, like, parents who just are in dire situations who need a little bit of extra support. And we know, you know, being part of the church community, that we need those support systems ourselves. And so if people are able to connect to community and support, they're really able to help rise out of their situations.
Well, that is tremendous. That is really tremendous. And of course, with families, a lot of single parents, you had mentioned that a lot of times, you know, today we have so many families and we have single parents, that adds a lot of pressure to families as well. And I happen to have some, my wife and I, we've adopted two children, and we know the great blessing that is when a family's actually not able to take care of the children. But how do you go about strengthening the family? You're saying there's financial challenges, and the church can get involved in strengthening those families. How does that happen?
Yeah, so we have host families who care for children short-term in their home. They're loving families. They don't receive any compensation. They're doing this out of the goodness of their heart and because they believe they've been called to this mission. And so the average stay for a child with a host family is about 45 days versus, like I said, you know, almost 600 days is the average for a child in foster care. So a short-term period of time to help families to get back up on their feet. We connect the parents to mentors who will walk them through budgeting, finding work, finding community resources, looking for sustainable housing. And again, you need that budget in order to be able to maintain that housing and to put food on the table. So people need those skills that they might not have necessarily gotten when they were growing up. A lot of our families have stories themselves of maybe growing up in foster care or growing up in a situation where, you know, they didn't have the strongest support system as a child. And so as an adult, they need help with those skills. They need a mentor to come into their lives and help walk them through those things. So they meet with their mentors weekly. And we also have job coaches who, again, support job seekers who are looking for either jobs or better jobs and meaningful work. That they'll be able to sustain as well. And those job coaches help them with resume building, soft skills, navigating the workforce, because it's definitely different than it was even 4 years ago. So being able to navigate the workforce and finding that work is what our job coaches do. And so loving volunteers. We also have resource volunteers who wrap around the families. They help the host families with needs that they may have while they're hosting, like diapers, wipes, maybe a lasagna. And also they wrap around our parents who are needing assistance. So they can help with transportation. They can help them with any resources that they might need. The resource volunteers are willing to just step in and be a loving support for our families that are hosting as well as our families that we're helping.
So since 2015, you all have touched a lot of families and a lot of kids. What is that number?
Yeah, so over 10,000 children have been helped, and 98% of the families, the kids that we've helped through mentoring and hosting, they've stayed together, and the families have stayed out of foster care.
That is
significant,
awesome.
Because 60% of our kids come from referrals from directly from the Department of Children and Families.
That is awesome. 98%, 10,000 kids. That's tremendous. And in regards to job seekers, I know you all get involved in not only training and mentoring and supporting, but also seeking to open doors for people. How has that worked out?
We have helped over 45,000 job seekers through our job fairs in helping them to find employment across 24 states. We also had a nationwide Day of Second Chances this year where we had 12 churches participate on the same day where they're helping job seekers who may have a background find employers who are willing to hire people who need a second chance, and they're willing to hire on the spot the day of the job fair. Again, through our incredible church partners, we put on these job fairs at churches across the state of Florida. So people who might not walk through the church doors on a Sunday morning are coming, and they're meeting people who love Jesus and love them and just show them the love of God while also helping connect them to something that is meaningful and will help them tangibly as well.
That is tremendous. Kayla, how would someone find you all on the web? And how would someone that would want to maybe be a volunteer or get involved or make a donation, who do they reach out to? How could they find out more information and get connected with you all?
Our website is bettertogetherus.org. So you can come on our website and check out the information about becoming a volunteer, a church partner, employer partner. We partner with all different community partners in our region, so we'd love to get in contact with you. We also have a 24/7 hotline number where anyone can call to get help at any hour of the day, and 239-470-2733.
Okay, so that is, and we may have a family that's listening today that needs support, needs a team to come around you, and maybe struggling with your family and issues within the family, maybe work or maybe with just your children. What a great great thing. Dave, you pulled up to the mic here.
Yeah.
And you know, we have a lot of things on this station about trying to support our families. We want to build families.
Yes, definitely.
This is a tremendous ministry. Are you familiar with it, Dave?
Not until just now. I have not been aware of it.
Well, this great. This is tremendous. And that number again is 239-470-2733. How long, Kayla? How long have you been a part of the ministry?
It's almost 2 years. I spent my entire career in the world of education. I was a teacher, a school administrator, a district administrator, and I saw every single day kids who experienced so much trauma that it really showed itself on a daily basis. We dealt with a lot of really challenging situations with kids, and it often felt like we were putting Band-Aids on bullet holes. We had kids coming, 1,200 kids at my particular school coming through the doors on a daily basis, and you were just doing your best to help them. And so when I heard Megan Rose present at my church on a Sunday morning about how we could prevent that trauma from ever happening in the first place, I was completely sold, and I applied that night, and it's just been an incredible opportunity to be a part of something that is, you know, really making a difference in the lives of families through the power of Jesus. Like, we know what can transform lives. And so, you know, and working in the school, you can't share the gospel. And it's just been, it's been an incredible opportunity for me to be in full-time ministry and be on this amazing team of people who love others and our volunteer army who's just ready to change the world.
So, Kayla, what about a pastor who's listening, maybe some church congregants or maybe board members, elders, whatever, they're listening today? How can a church or a small group or a fellowship, how can they get involved and be a partner or get someone to come out to speak to them? Is that available, or what would you say to the church leadership?
Absolutely. We have a full team who's always ready and willing to come and speak with our pastors. Our church partners are really the heroes of this story. because without them and our volunteers, we wouldn't be able to do this incredible work. We're volunteer-driven, and we're professionally supported. So our church partnerships are key, and we're always willing to meet with them. So again, that website, bettertogetherus.org, our phone number, they can call the main line, the 239-470-2733. We'll have a team member who can meet with them. And we prefer to meet in person just to present the ministry and the opportunity for partnership, so that we can, work together to